Titta Sutta, the sectarians, is actually called tenets. This discourse appears in Anguttara Nikaya, first book, Tikka Nipata, Mahavakka. Monks, there are these three sectarian guilds that guides that when cross-examined, pressed for reasons and rebuked by wise people, even though they may explain otherwise, remain stuck in a doctrine of inaction. So, this tittayatanani means that what one holds true, what one believes. So, it's a sort of a view. So, these views are being held by people, so other people will say, you know, tell them that it is wrong and so on, but they still remain stuck in this doctrine of inaction. There are priests and contemplatives who hold this teaching, hold this view. Whatever a person experiences, pleasant, painful, or neither pleasant nor painful, that is all caused by what was done in the past. So everything, you know, whatever thing done in the past is the one actually creating this feeling, pleasure, displeasure, and so on. Pubbe kata hetu, that is the past karma. That's what they believe. That's the first view. There are priests and contemplatives who hold this teaching, hold this view. Whatever a person experiences, pleasant, painful, neither pleasant nor painful, this is all caused by Supreme Being's act of creation. That is Isvara Nimmana Hetu. You know, the Isvara God that who live in the Nimmana Rati world. And so if the people believe that his all feelings that I am having is because of his creation. There are priests and contemplatives who hold this teaching, hold this view. Whatever a person experiences, pleasant, painful, neither pleasant nor painful, that is all without cause and without condition. So there's no cause and condition for the feeling to arise. Having approached the priest and contemplatives who hold that whatever person experiences all this feeling, that is all caused by what was done in the past, I said to them, is it true that you hold this such a view? Thus asked by me, they admitted yes. Then I said to him, then in that case, a person is a killer of living beings because of what was done in the past. A person is a thief, unchaste, a liar, a divisive speaker, a harsh speaker, an idle chatter, greedy, malicious thoughts holder, a holder of wrong views because of what was done in the past. So all of those things, bad things, killing all those things done because they have done these things in the past. Past karma. When one falls back on what was done in the past as being essential, once there is no desire, no effort at the thought, this should be done, this shouldn't be done. Chanda or vayana is not there. When one can't pin down as truth, as a truth or reality, what should and shouldn't be done, one dwells bewildered and unprotected. One cannot righteously refer to oneself as a contemplative. This was my first righteous refutation of those priests and contemplatives who hold to such teachings, such views. So, you see that if all those things are because of the past karma, and there is no point having this desire and you know, the effort to get rid of these things, not to do killing or anything like that, because everything is done because of the past ones. So, if it is the case, then one can't say I'm a contemplative because I'm not killing these things, killing living beings and so on. I behave this way, I do good things and so on. One cannot say I'm a contemplative because that all those things are because of the past thing. Having approached the priest and contemplatives who holds that whatever a person experiences is all caused by a supreme being, being's act of creation, I said to them, Is it true that you hold such a view? And they admitted, yes. Then I said to them, then in that case, a person is a killer of living beings because of a supreme being's act of creation. A person is a thief and behaves in this unchaste way, a liar, a divisive speaker, a harsh speaker, idle chatter, greedy, malicious, a holder of wrong view because of supreme being's act of creation. When one falls back on creation of a supreme being as being essential, once there is no desire, no effort. This should be done, this shouldn't be done. When one can't pin down as a truth or reality what should and shouldn't be done, one will be wilded and unprotected. One cannot righteously refer to oneself as a contemplative. This was my second righteous refutation of those priests and contemplatives who hold such teachings, such views. So if the Supreme Being has created all those things and all these feelings, because of them, so there's no effort or desire. This should be done, this should be done. Having approached the priest and contemplatives who hold that whatever a person experiences is all without cause, without condition, I said to them, is it true that you hold, who hold that whatever person experiences is all without cause, without condition? Thus asked by me, they admitted yes. Then I said to them, then in that case, a person is a killer of living beings without cause, without condition. A person is a thief, unchaste, a liar, a divisive speaker, harsh speaker, an idle chatter, greedy, malicious, a holder of wrong views without cause, without condition. When one falls back on lack of cause and lack of condition as being essential ones, there is no desire, no effort. This should be done, this shouldn't be done. When one can't pin down as a truth or reality what should and shouldn't be done, one will be wilded and unprotected. One cannot righteously refer to oneself as a contemplative. This means that this was my third righteous refutation of those priests and contemplatives who hold to such teaching, such views. These are the three sectarian guilds that, when cross-examined, pressed for reasons, and rebuked by vice, even though they may explain otherwise, remain stuck in inaction. But this Dhamma taught by me is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not defaulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives. And which Dhamma taught by me is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, or not faulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives? There are these six properties or six elements. Is a Dhamma taught by me that is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives. So these are the dhatu, the six kind of six elements. There are these six bases of sensory contact, that's media of sensory contact, are the bases. Is a Dhamma taught by me that is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives. So that's the second one. That is Passayatanani. There are these 18 explorations for the intellect. Is a Dhamma taught by me that is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives. These are the mental ramblings. Manopavichara. There are these four noble truths, is a Dhamma taught by me, that is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives. So these are the Arya Satcha. There are these six properties, is a Dhamma taught by me, that is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives. Thus was it said, and in reference to what was it said. These are the six properties. Earth property, liquid property, fire property, wind property, space property, consciousness property. There are these six properties is Dhamma taught by me that is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives. Thus was it said, and in reference to what was it said. So these six elements, so we know that the element of extension, whatever the hard, patavidhatu, hard and softness, And then there is this element of cohesion, that the liquid property. And there is this element of motion, the things move, the air moves because of that. And there is this element of heat. So those are the four material elements. And there is this, apart from those four, there is this element of space. So whatever in our body, so if you take this whatever thing hard, like hair of the body, nail and all those things, this is the element of extension. Whatever the liquid, you can see that the water in nature, saliva and urine, all the blood, all this element of cohesion, or apodhatu. And then there is this element of motion, that the air going inside the body, upward, downward and so on. And there is this element of heat, by which that these foods get digested, and we are actually going, the aging is also due to this element of heat. And so you can see inside our body, inside the mouth there is a space, and the stomach there is space, so that's the space element. So outside also there is space, that's a space element. And the sixth element is the consciousness element. So consciousness is infinite. So that's the sixth element. So then Buddha said, there are these six media of sensory contact. Is the Dhamma taught by me, that is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives. Thus what is said, and in reference to what was it said. There are the six media of sensory contact. The eye as a media of sensory contact, that is, the eye is the base. We have eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind base. So depending on those base, so there is this this contact. Is pasayatanani. So we get this prasada in eye. These are the six media of sensory contact. The eye as a medium of sensory contact. Ear as a medium of sensory contact. The nose as a medium of sensory contact. Tongue as a medium of sensory contact. The body as a medium of sensory contact. The mind as a medium of sensory contact. There are these six media of sensory contact. Is a Dhamma taught by me, that is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives. Thus was it said, and in reference to this was it said. There are these 18 explorations for the intellect. Is a Dhamma taught by me, that is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives. Thus what is said, and in reference to what was it said. A seen a form via the eye, one explores a form that can act as a basis for happiness. One explores a form that can act as the basis of unhappiness. One explores a form that can act as the basis for equanimity. So these are called mano pavichara. This, now you can see what's happening with this mano pavichara, that I have given you a diagram. You can see, first we have this this diagram explain how we get the lust, and then the hatred and delusion. And at the end you can see how we get the suffering. First noble truth is the last line. So first we have this agreeable object, and because of the agreeable object, there is this contact to be felt as pleasant. Sukha-vedaniya sparsha. So there is this pleasant feeling. We get a pleasant feeling. And then there is approach which joy arises, that is called somanasa pavichara. This pavichara is the what we are talking about, this mano pavichara over here. Somanasa pavichara. And then you can see lust arises because of that. And when there is lust, there is this sensual desire thinking. Kama vitakka. Because of the sensual desire thinking, there is this lust-born fever that arises. and Ragacha Parilaga. Because of the lustborn fever, the constructed characteristic arises. And then the painfulness in change. Viparinama Durkata. This line explained quite a lot over here. Now, think about sort of a agreeable object. This may be a sort of person that you would like to see, or maybe a food nice to eat, and then there is this contact, and then when there is a contact, then there is some sort of feeling was that was actually constructed by the mind itself. And when that happened, you can see there is this somanasa pavichara, the mental rambling is occurring in the mind. And because of that, there is this lust. Now, with that lust, there is this sensual desire thinking. So the mind is now holding to that object. We keep on thinking about that object. And if you pay a little bit more attention, this is how we were born as well. We were born because of this. In the mother's womb, we went into that one. Buddha actually explained this one in a little while, how we went over there because of those six elements. Having established over there, we hold into that one. The little, tiny little this embryo type thing, the consciousness should remain over there. Remember the Mahanidana Sutta, when we discussed that, Buddha said that if the consciousness, you know, it established over there, if the consciousness leaves that one, then there won't be any birth. So the consciousness is essential to be there, to protect and make it grow. And I can tell you that in the meditation I see that in my this birth, the inside the mother's womb, that you are not only aware, right? I was aware that I can see the outside as well. I'm aware of the outsides. I can even hear my sister playing up all those things as well. So at that time, you are making up your world in a way. I want to have such and such, you know, characteristics in the sense that to laugh, you know, play and all those things. You are aware. You can actually see in a way. So you are holding to this consciousness over here about this little thing inside the mother's womb. And so the consciousness should be there like a light, you know, that applying to some sort of object is there. So you can see that the sensual desire thinking is that while inside the womb, this is not happening after, you know, few months, this initially, maybe up to 1 month, 2 months or something like that, when I can't set out the sort of time frame, that your awareness is there, and then the consciousness is making it happen, you know, the growing it in a way, so the basis and all those things in shape in according to your karma and your desire thinking, your desires are as such applying to that little thing inside the mother's womb. And then it nourished by the all those things. So there is this Ragaja Parilaha, or the lustborn fever. I want this, I want that sort of thing. Because of that, there is this constructed characteristic of arising. Uppada Sankata Lakkana in Pali. Uppada Sankata Lakkana, that characteristic arises. And because, so think about now what will happen if you are born. So if you are born, you can see there is this change, Viparinama Dukkata. That also happened because you cannot hold your consciousness to your body and your things. Because later on, there are so many other things, agitations that would occur because of the, you know, the anger and all those other things. What other people say and sort of thing. So you have to switch between this, the holding this thing and the other thing. like in the office that you do work and you attend to your body, likewise you are switching between the two. After a long time, you can see, being an adult, sort of you don't have to have the consciousness much because it's already grown and protected and sort of thing, but it's still holding and making it, growing and whatever thing it is, but it can't hold into the body. That's why it is subject to its aging. So, what I'm trying to say over here, it is this, the fourth link over here, Somanasa Pavichara, approach with joy, is the one that Buddha is talking about here, mental rambling. That occurs with us. Having seen object, we have this approach with joy. Why we get this approach with joy is because of our views. Because of the views, we have this approach with joy. So if you don't have views, this is mine and so on, this me, this is mine and so on, then this approach with joy won't arise. So that means the rest won't continue. If the rest does not continue, you don't get this viparinama dukkata, painfulness as painfulness in change, and also the painfulness as pain. The second line, you see, the going through the first line, automatically you switch back to the second line. So if you can cut at that particular point, because of the right view, then you are cutting down quite a lot. And you can see, regarding those four nutrients, kablikara ahara, edible food, and you go through this sensual desire, this path you are continuing. And then in the second path, regarding this contact as the nutriment, and then we go into the anger, the hatred. So, what is contacting you is the result of the previous one, with or without knowing. The result of the first path here is the one getting contacted. What is the result of the first path? You can see that the painfulness in change. And then it goes through the second path, painfulness as pain, dukkha dukkata. So basically, having done something before, and as a consequence, we got the painfulness as pain, or pain, or physical pain, for example. And it is being getting contacted when we see a certain object. We do not know this. So because of that, we actually think that this is pleasurable. We perceive it as pleasurable, but what was contacted was actually suffering, a dukkha, pain. Pain is the one getting contacted. And that pain, having got contacted from that pain, would you really expect to have pleasure? From the pain you won't get pleasure. But our mind constructs it as pleasure. It's a sort of a wrong view. And that view, going through that the third path, where in the volition as a nutriment, and making that this is mine and so on. That particular view is coming back over here. Because we have done it before, and played past. So that's why we would feel like thinking about those objects. We feel like thinking about a beautiful object that we thought that is beautiful because of our view. Somanasa Pavichara is because of that. And then you can see the second line over here also, it's going through this disagreeable object, contact to be felt as painful feeling, and approach with grief arises, this is Domanasa Pavichara. Now we are thinking in a wrong way, this is the bad way, we are thinking that this is bad for me and so on. But it was also constructed and occur because of my own feeling. Let's say you see a person who is coming in front of you. You don't like that person. How you don't like it? that you got something out of that person before, you know, something, you were affected by something. So, as soon as you see that person, this painful feeling arises. He didn't do anything at that particular time. He was just passing by. Not even the wind that coming in your direction. And then there is this domanasa pavichara, who approaches grief regarding that object. Because what? Because of the my former view that this guy, let this guy be dead. That sort of thing that we constructed. So there is this domanasa pavichara over here. So because of that, hate arises. And the ill will thinking, hate-born fever. Ill will thinking is the vyapada vitakka, hate-born fever. Dosaja parilaha. And then constructed characteristic. Alteration that which arises is the titassa anyatattam sankata lakkhana in Pali. That things that was there before has changed now. Titassa anyatattam sankata lakkhana. It could be something like that, in simple terms, like there was, I had a good teacher, then the teacher was transferred and somebody else is here. Or else, think about the end of the first line, we get viparinama dukkata. So your body change, not like before, subject to aging. Now, what was there before is now change. So you can see titasa anyatattam, sankata lakkana, constructed characteristic, alteration. And because of that one, painfulness as pain arises, a dukkha dukkata. And in the fourth path, the neither agreeable nor disagreeable object, and there is this contact to be felt as neither painful nor pleasant. Neither painful nor pleasant feeling. So, and then there is this approach with equanimity. Upekka pavichara. So there is this delusion arises, and then cruelty thinking. Hinsa vitakka. Delusion born fever arises. Constructed characteristic passing arises via sankata lakkana, and then painfulness in constructions. Sankara or sankata dukkata. So you would sort of see why this delusion arises, and then why the cruelty thinking. This is a sort of a hard thing for many to understand. This is, I don't know whether you will understand it. This has a big thing about those four nutriments. This is the fourth line in the nutriment. So, let's say for example, remember first we discussed that to have this body, we need to hold our consciousness onto this body. And protecting it, making it happen and all those things. Now you can see, along the way, we have aging. So now I have trouble with, I have to hold the body and there is aging. So I am switching between, I go to aging, go to this body, right? Now, I also have, in the first path, there is this dukkha, painful nature. So I have to switch between that painful nature. If you take the first noble truth, the birth is birth, aging, sickness and death, right? So birth, aging, sickness. Now I have to switch my mind between all those three states. And then because of the death, there is this, the dukkha or pain, because I don't have a body anymore, if I have passed away and if I am living in a mind-made body. So I have to switch my mind to that one as well. And then because of that, there is this sorrow is there. And also I have the dobanasa, you know, the displeasure feeling. So you can see, and then I have this separation from pleasant things and union with displeasing things and distress. So my mind has to switch between these many states that I do not like. What I like is the birth. What I want to hold is this birth, body, right? But I can't hold into that one because of the other things, the changes thing. And at that particular time, you know, that I'm holding my consciousness as permanent and so on. But I can't, because my mind is switching between these many, many things. My mind is now very complicated, not like a little baby, you know, inside the stomach and coming out of that one, have no other business other than the looking after, crying, and, you know, I need food and so on. The others have got quite a lot. So they are...
This is after the death?
No. After the death also, that, let's say you have died before, right? All these states are there while living. After death also we have these states. So mind is constantly struggling with these things. So there is this, even for delusion. Now you see that this is, previously you had the lust to hold this one. Now you have delusion. Even from delusion you can't hold this one. At that time, you got to go. Even the other people are saying, please stay. You know, people are crying and dying movement. Some people are crying and telling that, do not go, right? But even that, they are crying and saying, Tata, please stay. He can't hold into this thing. So one would actually say, no, he's gone, like cruelty. So this is a one extreme that one can explain. So at that time, even from the delusion, you can't hold. So there's this cruelty. One can actually see the cruelty feeling, because you cannot hold anymore.
The
way we expected, we cannot hold. Like a big little baby's body, right? It's aging already started with that body. So we want to hold it without aging, without subject to any defilements, you know, that this making, you know, deforming all those things. That's what we are trying to hold, but you can't.
So, that the baby, even though a person cannot express, these things are happening in mind?
Yes.
At that time?
All the time. At that time, this is happening.
The only difference is that the person cannot express because
of the complicated nature.
And can't talk in.
The baby. Baby cannot do that. I mean, because the aging part, there are other dhamma in Mahanidesa, why it is happening, because of the air, you know, the heat. There are many, many things. There are two terms. I'm not going to go into that details. It is from the consciousness, from this Aya Nostam body. It's like a stream we are holding and maintaining this consciousness, right? As a stream. You cannot maintain the way you want because of the other things. You might try to do something, somebody coming here and taking me something, so I am paying attention to that thing, right? A baby is crying, you know, the car is breaking down, or, you know, all those things. So you actually, you make your attention to many, many things.
Yeah, that can. That's understood, because when someone gets really sick and not that old, in young age, or maybe 34 years time, and that time, when something happens within the body, and that person is, even though not expect at that time, to is scared and thinking that what would happen to him.
Mm-hmm. And then holding to the body thoroughly, relaxing, resting, taking medicine, all those things. So 100% attention, you know, in the hospital, 100% attention to your body. That's what they do. So you see, we have been doing these things, but I had no idea of explaining this one to, because of the Mahabrahma Sahampati explained this one to me, that Arahant. Otherwise, I have no way of explaining this. This path, right? This is a great Dhamma which sort of lost in the in our world. So you can see this is how it's happening. So this is very important. So what he was actually telling me, how to cut down this approach with joy. If you are actually getting angry, for example, you can cut down that one in three places. You get the anger because of this edible food, the nutriment edible food or the form, right? So you have this foul nature, you contemplate about 32 parts of the body, you cut down so that end. And then because of this, you go through the first line and go through the second line, contact, you go into the anger, hatred. So you have loving kindness, you cut down that end. Now there is one middle path, is keep on producing this thing. That is somana, this mano pavichara that we are discussing now. So you are actually cutting down after the painful feeling, you are not going to have this approach with joy. If you cut down your will. So on those three places, if you cut down, nothing will continue. You can be anywhere, anytime, that you are just there. Three ends got to be cut down. The starting end, again the end of that one, hatred level, and then the middle is this. If this is not there, there won't be anything.
Can we appreciate the light on this particular issue by looking at about the Nibbana, where we do construct anything, and then we can maintain that for pure?
This is the way? Yeah, if you are not doing this middle path, this is the one actually making it happen. It's like opening the tap, right? Although you are actually applying this, that object is, disgusting, that those things, but the middle path still continues because of the view. So you need to cut down in three different places. So if you do that, then you maintain in a consciousness in state that nothing is mine. Either you will reach plane of nothing, because you are not taking, if you are not doing this one, you are not going through any of these three lines. If you are not going through these three lines, you are not taking anything as mine. So that means you are stable and attain Nibbana. So that's that part. It's a bit lengthy. Sound via the ear, smelling and aroma via the nose, tasting in flavor via the tongue, feeling a tactile sensation via the body, cognizing an idea via the mind, one explores an idea that can act as a basis for happiness. One explores an idea that can act as the basis for unhappiness. One explores an idea that can act as the basis for equanimity. There are these 18 explorations for the intellect. Is a Dhamma taught by me that is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable priests and contemplatives. Thus source is said. And in reference to this source is said. There are these four noble truths. Is a Dhamma taught by me that is unrefuted, undefiled, blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable and priests and contemplatives, thus what is said, and in reference to what was is said. Sustained by clinging to the six properties, there is an alighting of an embryo. So now Buddha explained how this is happening. There have been an alighting, there is name and home. From name and home, as a requisite condition, come to the six sense media. From the six sense media, as a requisite condition, comes contact. From contact as a requisite condition comes feeling. To one experiences feeling, I declare this is stress. It's very nice in Sinhala. Midin dannahata metekkai dukha bangavana. Midina pudgalaya. So this is the amount of suffering you have. This is stress. I declare this is the origination of stress. I declare this is the cessation of stress. I declare this is the path of practice leading to the cessation of stress. So, you can see in this line over here, sustained by clinging to the six properties. This is the dhatu bhikkhu, dhatu nam upadaya, gabbasa avakkanti, gabbasa avakkanti. Because of these six elements, we we have this alighting of an employee. So inside the womb you can see these six exist. This, the element of extension, you can see the heart, whatever thing it is, and then the liquid, and the motion, and the heat, mother's heat, and there is space inside the womb, and then you can see there is this consciousness element. So those six, then maintaining that one over there first. So Buddha explained it, how it is. So then this consciousness established, and then the mind and matter, these six sense bases. I was telling you that, while inside over there, that you sort of have awareness, you see things outside. I can even remember Dalada Malika when my mother went to over there, inside that. So, that there are these wishes and all those things while you are there. And is making it happen. Name and form is all continuing. Paratisampada is continuing in that way. To which level, to what level, later on, I don't know. At the beginning it's like this. So once it is, right kickoff, car has started, probably it's just driving and maybe it is. But at the beginning it's like that.
So how can this Babies remember the past birth more than the 9 months inside the womb and listening to these things and all these things, but still remember the past birth?
Yeah, that is a different thing. That is a different thing because the they have qualities developed before. Venerable Ananda could remember, not from a psychic power, his past births and so on. So these are certain things that one has done some good karma because of those things. So not everyone is aware inside the womb, that like a bodhisattva, for example, they are aware for the whole time. Not everyone is aware in that one. So I'm talking about the beginning part, that how your awareness and sort of thing. Later on you may not be aware, you are just there. And the process has, started, and what is the noble truth of stress? Birth is stressful, aging is stressful, death is stressful, sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress, and despair are stressful. Association with what is not loved is stressful. Separation from what is loved is stressful. Not getting what is wanted is stressful. In short, the five clinging aggregates are stressful. This is called the noble truth of stress. See, this Dhamma is very short. You can see only four terms. Buddha is starting from birth to complete that one, starting from the views, with the wrong views that they had, how these things are actually happening. It's completely connected to each other. Mental rambling, the explaining in places. And what is the noble truth of origin of stress? Then what Buddha actually explained over here is this avidya paccaya sankhara. Normally Buddha says this, the birth, the cause of this one is craving. Now Buddha is now explaining, it is because of the, from ignorance as a requisite condition, comes this fabrication, so volitional formations. From volitional formations as a requisite condition comes consciousness. From consciousness as a requisite condition comes name and form. From name and form as a requisite condition come the six sense media, these six spheres. From the six sense media as a requisite condition comes contact. From contact as a requisite condition comes feeling. From feeling as a requisite condition comes craving. From craving as a requisite condition comes clinging. From clinging as a requisite condition comes becoming, that is the existence, bhava. From becoming as a requisite condition comes birth. From birth as a requisite condition, then old age, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress and despair come into play. Such is the origin of this entire mass of suffering. So, other than saying it is the craving is the origin of suffering, Buddha says this is a dependent origination, is the origin of suffering here in this discourse. This is called the noble truth of origin of suffering. So, Buddha have explained this origin of suffering in various ways. And remember that Samadhi Bhavana Sutta is another one. And in the many Patikasampada dependent originations are there. And what is the noble truth of cessation of suffering or stress? From the remainderless fading away, fading and cessation of that very ignorance, comes cessation of fabrications. Avichaya eva asesa viraga nirodho, sankara nirodho. Sankara nirodho, vinyana nirodho. And from the cessation of fabrications or the volitional formations, comes the cessation of consciousness. From the cessation of consciousness, comes the cessation of name and form. From the cessation of name and form, comes the cessation of the six sense media. From the cessation of six sense media, comes the cessation of contact. From the cessation of contact, comes the cessation of feeling. From the cessation of feeling, comes the cessation of craving. From the cessation of craving, comes the cessation of clinging sustenance. From the cessation of clinging sustenance, comes the cessation of becoming. From the cessation of becoming, comes the cessation of birth. From the cessation of birth, then old age, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress, despair, all cease. Such is the cessation of this entire mass of stress and suffering. I mean, we have discussed this part before in different discourses. Mahatanna Sankhya Sutta, you can remember that is one is lengthy to go through. That you can see that in the contemplation, you need to contemplate both ways. The origin is one, and then you need to see, if I do not have this ignorance, if the ignorance ceases, then there won't be any volitional formations. The ignorance, why we get the ignorance? Because of our delusion from the past birth. The delusion in the past birth became the ignorance. Because of the ignorance, we avijja, we have this sanskara, we construct things this way, that way. Even after death, one would say, I would like to have this, such and such a birth, such and such a thing.
Okay, in that case, if we don't achieve one of the four stages, and still, when we get the next birth, still the past birth, there is an illusion.
Yes. Even for a one who attained the stream into one's return, until you become an arahant, there is these elements of from the previous ones coming and play. So it's made the ground. It doesn't make it happen on its own. So Buddha says, kammam kettam. The kamma is like the land that you prepare, the farm prepare the land, for example. Kammam kettam. Vijnanam bija, the consciousness is the seed. Tanha sineho, craving is the water. So craving should be there as well. Not only from kamma. As Buddha explained in the first one, it is not happening only from kamma. You got to have the kamma. The consciousness should be there, exist. And then this as the seed, and then there is this craving. So both craving and this, because of the volitional formations or the kamma, there are these weaves we hold. And whenever there are these agreeable objects, so there is this craving. Because of that view, we form something over here, mano pavichara, and we have mental rambling with it. So we go, the lust and all those things recreated occurs.
Unless you put a big effort in the whatever the birth, and it's really hard to harvest whatever you have done, whatever the good things you have done in the past births, isn't it?
Yes, yes. That's you. Unless you put effort, you can't get it out. That's why people who are actually not meditating and not doing anything, they are. And all of a sudden, they heard some sort of a dhamma or something, and they started thinking about it. Isn't that all the other things coming up, aligning, and they very quickly become, that devotees, and then, the learner of dhammas and meditators and so on. Because that it was sort of covered with those hindrances before. And so Buddha got to be here in that sense, or Dhamma, or the Sangha got to be here to those things to come out. And So if you have grown something, even if you have a land you prepared very well, unless you put the seeds and water, nothing will grow over there. Like that, the bhumi or the land is there, having constructed before, but you need to put effort and make it happen. And when one meditates, try to go through the other way around, the cessation path. You know, if this one ceases, this one ceases, this one ceases. And you've got to be sort of skillful in doing that one as well. And what is the noble truth of the path of practice leading to the cessation of stress? Just this noble eightfold path, right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. This is called the noble truth of the path of practice leading to the cessation of stress. So when you go through these eightfold path, you can see you are actually cutting down these three lines. You are cutting down the four lines of nutrients as well. And there are quite a lot that can be explained, and they are very, very lengthy because of the that 40 dhamma over there you can see in the nutriment thing. And there are 27 odd dhamma over here. So they interact in a sort of a way just to maintain what? The birth, the body, these feelings. And the trouble is that you cannot maintain it. That's why we have this aging, sickness and all those things. When you get the aging, sickness and all those things, then you have more trouble. I have to maintain the body. I have the sickness. I have to pay attention to the sickness. Like that. So it's just the consciousness, like a torch holding into that this thing.
So he part of the reasons why someone is sick and he can progress. That means he gets more time to concentrate on the body and then get better.
Yes. So they are paying attention to the body, taking care of it, leaving out all the other troubles and things. So that's why you need the rest. So you need medicine and all those things as well, because in that state you can't normally get out easily, unless it's, the body can cure, like a virus, certain viruses like a flu and things like that. But it's the availability of the consciousness for your things, like your mind, your this body, and so on. This is very deep. That Dhamma path is very deep. And Mahanidesa sort of explain, there are about 10 gathas in one line, in one page. You know, it's not explained that much. It's a bit hard to get. And
it's like when you are capable of and not safe, and you always, any human being or maybe animals to you, and then they want an expert. Until they get to an age that they cannot do anything, and at that time people would say, I have heard people say, and that I don't want to be born again. Yeah, but today, when you get that state, you're too late. I mean, it's not that you can develop that, no matter whether you want or not, you get it, not as a human being. I mean,
yeah, that person actually expressed, I cannot maintain, I cannot hold into this one because I have this aging, sickness, right? And then the sorrow, lamentation, and then the pain, and the union with displeasing things, right? Separation from pleasant thing. What is the separation from pleasant thing? That he want this body to maintain, sustain, be there with it. He cannot do that. So when you separate from that one, what you left with? Union with displeasing things. So now he has to deal with that one as well. So this dhamma, about 9 dhammas that you cannot maintain, so then you leave it and then there's this death. So at that time they are saying, well, I can't, even if others say, please stay, I cannot stay.
Yeah, because that saying is I am not my lack of knowledge. It is not true understanding, because this is actually a problem. That means this is expressing his pleasure.
Inability. Yes. Inability to maintain, that's what it is expressing. And not that I do not want to maintain it, it's I am unable to do this any further.
It's the physical suffering, I think. It's not the
physical and mentally.
Because I could mentally always think the lie in the past, I mean, the time that they were able to do this.
No, when you get the pain, because of the pain, if you take this example in a little bit lengthy way, according to Petakopadesa, that there is this birth and then there is this aging. When there is aging, there is sickness. Then there is death, right? After death, you are in a mind-made body. Let's say you are in a mind-made body and you don't have a body, others got a body. It's like that used to eat rice all the time. For 7 days I didn't have rice. Like that, right? So in that case, since I used to have a body and don't have a body, this one troubling your body, the mind-made body. Because it's troubling your mind-made body, that leads to the displeasure, dominasa. Because of the dominasa, it's troubling your mind. So body and mind both are now getting troubled, disturbed by these two. And because of that, there is this sorrow. So sorrow has got this soka, that you have this, the sorrowfulness is the characteristic of that one. And because of the sorrow, then there is this parideva, or despair, that you say words. You know, ammi, tati, you know, they're like that, you know, father, mother, and so on, that crying at that time, for example, death, like that, you know, the words are coming out. And because of that, you go into this upayasa, that is this, people, you might have noticed that some people get fainted and, you know, when someone die, like that one, even within the mind-made body, it is like that. That upayasa is there, so strong. And because of that, also there is existence. There is another paticchasamuppada. Because of this upayasa or distress, there is this birth, becoming. Because you want it very, very strongly now. Like the person who did not have rice for 7 days or 8 days. Right? Let's say you have gone on a trip and coming back, sometimes you eat outside. People say that I didn't have rice for this many days, right? I don't know whether you know this. And so they desperately want, like that one, they have this next, so I want to be born somewhere. I don't care, like that, in that situation. So then you have this, the separation from pleasant things. All this continues in that way. And so the mind can't hold into a particular, you know, the instance, that is this your body, the maintenance of the body and so on, because of these troubles.
Mind or consciousness?
Well, they are the same. In the Abhidhamma point of view, they are the same, but you can say because there is this mind, there is Dhamma, depending on the two, the consciousness comes to arise, right? So one wouldn't try to distinguish between the mind and the consciousness from the higher point of view, but for the explaining purpose, one can actually distinguish it there.
One question now. You said that, also we experience that Padagadana has described the dependent orientation in many ways. And the other thing we know actually, Padagadana has said that the craving is the most thing that going to be next. And for example, somebody can say that he from the cave and go beyond, go over and then get the existence and then birth. And so the craving is explaining in the craving or is
sorry, explaining
craving is now, for example, if somebody understands grace, does he understand the illusion and everything? Or is starting from that point of and forward?
If he understands the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena, then he understands. Otherwise, it's a craving is in the middle, you see, that over here is somanasa pavichara and so on, that is in the middle step over there. So, if you understand craving completely, well, in that sense, you only understand, only if you understand the rising and passing away. Otherwise, you wouldn't understand craving. So, they are together.
So, is that enough to get all this part of this legal penalty?
Yeah, if you understand the rising and passing away phenomena, that means avidya, avidya is not there.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, completely understanding. Yeah, yeah. But there are lower levels than that. For example, if in the particular dependent origination, if you understand from existence, there is birth, right? So there is a knowledge. But if you understand from because of avidya, or ignorance, there is this volitional formation, so there is knowledge. But these two knowledges are not the same. They are from the right view point of view, from view-wise, they are the same. Samadhiti, according to Samadhiti Sutta. But the knowledge-wise, understanding that the ignorance lead to avidya, is a higher knowledge. So you can see that the lower knowledges are in the bottom part of the Paticca-samuppada. The higher knowledges are on the upper part. That's why I am saying contemplate all the time, bottom part, the higher parts, one can understand later on, having attained certain states. Because there are so many Dhamma knowledges in the dependent origination. And then the person who would understand this, all these links, all the knowledges over there, well, he's an arahant. He would have understood all this. So otherwise they understand the links. One link. Understanding one link alone or two links won't do the whole thing. Because still, there are certain dhamma that continue. Like this pavichara you're talking about. You see that person who understands part of it, still have views, certain views. He has not penetrated those things. So therefore the somanasa pavichara, those things continue in a certain way. And remember the Buddha said, chetati pakappeti anusati. Chetati is this volition. Pakappeti is that you are, let's say, thinking, for example, sensual desire and all those things with the abhijakaya, grantha, the holding with this, holding to these material things and so on, right? Buddha said consciousness gets established because of these three. Even if someone does not have volition, or there is no pakappa, that is not thinking about these things, still the consciousness gets established because of the anusaya, that is the tendency. Tendency means that you have gone through that path before. So because of that it's established. So you can see the knowledge should be complete in that sense.
Is that what it says the bad things that you have done or good things that you have done in previous, very previous births can come into effect in the coming births?
Yes, that one as well, yes. Okay, we will stop for today then.